tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Patty is off tonight, so to start off the show, we have Chicago Tribune writer Lauren Zumbach to talk about the new Amazon Go store here in Chicago. And to discuss the Human Rights Campaign's gala this weekend, we have Penelope Garcia. And did you get your lottery ticket? Because from Northwestern, we have Barry Nelson to tell you your actual chances of winning. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio here in Chicago, we are broadcasting live.
Good evening, 11:09 in the greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois, the greatest radio station on the planet, WGN Radio. It's Andrea Darlis. Patty has the night off. She is traveling with friends. I believe she's with Paul Farver. She'll be back tomorrow. Great Blackhawks win. Congrats to the Hawks. We needed that. As Michael said, we have an awesome show for you tonight. We're going to talk about the Amazon Go store that's opening in the Illinois Center. We have Penelope Garcia from the Human Rights Campaign. Huge gala going on this weekend in Chicago. And we're going to talk a little lottery after midnight. Basically, why you don't want to win. So, Domati, this is where I bring you in, my dear friend.
That's good stuff.
You got the
numbers.
We set this up. This is Michael's idea. I have to give credit where credit's due, because I'm like, Michael, I'm got to win the lottery. This is going to be huge for us. And he's like, yeah, but just in case if you don't, he kind of brings me back down to, you know, this little place called Planet Earth and normalcy.
Right,
right, Michael? So Michael booked Barry Nelson, who's a professor of industrial engineering and management sciences. How about that title? At the McCormick School of Engineering. And he's going to tell us why it's okay if you didn't win the lottery because you're basically blowing your cash, blah, blah, blah.
So people should hope they don't have these numbers I'm about to
exactly.
read, huh?
Exactly. All right, so give us the numbers.
Five.
Ooh. Wait, hold on.
Uh-oh.
I bought my tickets before I came in. Hold on.
Uh-oh, check it out. Get the tickets.
Okay.
Get those tickets out at home, too.
Okay.
5, 28, 62, 65, 70, and Megaball is 5.
Oh, I didn't get one.
Ouch. You know, Adam in engineering had one number. He had one of the numbers. I think he had 5 in there somewhere, but not the Mega Ball.
Last time I had 2 and not the Mega Ball, which did nothing.
Ouch.
Oh, this is brutal.
That's why I don't even buy the tickets, because the euphoria goes away as soon as those numbers are drawn.
There's 10 bucks down the drain. So that was 10. And then 20 I spent on the last one when it was a billion.
I mean, but it was worth the risk, though.
Yeah, I guess 10 bucks is worth it.
Yeah,
did you buy tickets?
I did not. I did not.
Michael, did you?
Yes, I have them.
You're
in my
holding
hand
them
right now.
Did you win? Did you get it? Did you get even a quick one of the Mega Ball?
Yeah, I won, actually. I'm out of here. See you guys later.
Bye,
nice to know you all. Nice
bye, my
you.
Cousin.
I got
my Copolis.
It's funny because Adam came in here as well to tell me he had one number, and I had one number too. I had 5.
Oh,
not the Mega Ball, though.
I didn't have one number. Domati, read them again.
Yeah, it's 5, 28, 62, 65, 70, and the Mega Ball 5.
God, yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah, I know. It's like when you look in the fridge and when you're hungry and there's nothing there. But
I know.
Just look again. Just make sure. Just keep staring.
That's a great way to put it. Oh, I knew I should have gone to the Jewel.
Right. Knew I should have gone grocery shopping today.
Oh, that's brutal.
It sucks.
I don't know what I'm... It's, you know, it's not like I ever expect to look at the ticket and think, oh, I won. Great. You know, what am I going to do now? Keep quiet for, you know, the next 2 hours? Let you guys take over the show and win?
I'm not going to lie. For a second, Michael was so quiet. I said, he won. He doesn't want to tell us.
You were quiet. He had a Mega Ball. He had a free ticket.
I'm speaking to Adam right now, our engineer, and we were both saying that we'd totally keep quiet if we actually did win. Like, you know,
would you really?
Wouldn't say a single word.
Oh, I don't think I would either. I wouldn't either. I saw a story, and Channel 9 did this earlier today. They were talking to a lawyer, and he said more lottery winners face lawsuits than anybody else on the planet. Because the first thing they do is, oh, you know, Michael Heidemann, he wronged me, or Domati Pongo, you know, he did this
right,
to me.
Right.
And then they sue you because they think that you'll give them money to go away.
Jeez.
Instead of fight the lengthy court proceeding.
That is brutal.
I could see that happening, though. That's why you want to just get an attorney or something like that and then just hit the high road. And it'd be really funny, though, because imagine the person who keeps quiet and they still continue to go to work and is like, man, why is Betty in such a good mood these
I know.
Days? Did you get a new haircut or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, I would so stop work. I mean, I'd come visit you guys. Well, I'd give you a little bit of money because we're on the show together, you know, tonight.
Thanks.
Adam, you too.
Oh, yeah.
You're being awful quiet
that.
In there, too. You didn't win, did you?
Who
Adam's
that?
Just grinning.
Adam? Adam's just grinning.
He wouldn't tell us if he did, to be honest.
You both got one number. At least you guys got a free ticket out of it. Now, how cool would it be if it rolled over to $2 billion? That's going to
be
the next
amazing.
One.
Amazing. That's what I'm waiting on. I'm looking at this information to see if they know where that winning ticket was sold. That's the thing that gets me when we find out it's in the Chicagoland area. And I'm like, I wish I should have tried something.
Is there a part of you at all that say it's the winners in New Jersey? Or are you like, oh, good. You know,
yes.
At least it's so far away from me and nobody I know. It's
very selfish, but absolutely.
Yeah, I do the same thing. You know, oh, good, it's Jersey. Although I know people in Jersey, so I just wanted to be someone from a state. Well, if it can't be me or any of you guys, you know, just someone I don't know.
Just so you know, you had no shot. Like, it's almost worse.
Yeah.
If you're closer, like, I mean, is there a sense of relief for you knowing that you didn't have one number? That
no.
Was no, nothing. No solace.
No, I don't have any solace. I just, maybe I could have gotten a free ticket out of it.
Now yeah, oh, just, so you get a free ticket? If,
no, I didn't even get one number, Domity.
But but you're saying the free ticket, you get a, do
I
you
thought
have,
if you get the Mega Ball, do you get another ticket?
Yeah, if you get the Mega Ball, I looked this up because I got the Mega Ball during the Billion.
Oh, yeah,
one,
okay, bragger.
Yes. Okay. Well,
good for you.
This will go. This will go. Take me very far. You get $4. $4, I think.
Oh, that's what you get. All right. So you can either buy two tickets,
or
a latte, or a small coffee at Starbucks.
Exactly.
Either way, it's a win.
A kitty cup. Yeah. Either way, it's a win.
I'd rather
right?
just get none. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. Nothing. Well, congratulations to any winner. Hopefully it rolled over. So we all have another shot. I went to buy my tickets, not this time, but the last time at the 7-Eleven, which is just a block away from us. And Fox News was there with their camera. And it was a young reporter. And everybody who walked in, he's like, hi, are you buying lottery tickets? And everyone just kind of brushed past the poor kid. Like,
oh,
no, no, no. And then he said to me, are you buying tickets? I said, yeah, you don't want to interview me. I just said I work at a competing station. Although it would have been funny, you know, what's your title? Oh, WGN-TV reporter.
Should have just ruined his live shot and start promoting your stuff. Yeah,
yeah
listen to
yeah,
the weekend
yeah.
break Saturday morning.
Right, weekend break, right? With Sean and Tanya and me, Saturdays.
Exactly.
7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Just start trolling. That's what we should do to the newbies.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah,
I'm one of them.
My boss, Jen, would say, yeah, you know, let's chat about that.
Right.
About you coming in this weekend or not. So I did not do the interview, but it was cute trying to, you know, watching him interview different people.
Oh,
and people were so excited. So who knows? But now that would be cool if you knew. So say it's a store you always go into, like the 7-Eleven or wherever you go to get your coffee or, you know, a snack or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew the store. Well, you'd be happy for the store, right? Because it's local. They can use the money.
No,
pay the
not
employees.
At all. Not one
no.
bit. Just like you said, I would be wishing that I bought a ticket from that store. Like earlier today, before I came here, stopped for some gas in Hyde Park, the BP in Hyde Park.
Okay.
Line almost out the door of
oh,
people
no.
buying these tickets. I mean, I went to the ATM. Yeah, I'm at the ATM. Someone is a line at the ATM so people can get some cash to go buy. Some, I don't know why
oh,
you go
yeah.
to the ATM before you buy the lotto tickets. I don't know if you just want to check to see how broke you are.
Like, you know, it's I think it's because it's cash only. That's exactly.
Oh, is it cash only?
Don't
okay,
he,
that makes
that's
sense.
Exactly what I had to do because I never carry cash. I'm always with, you know, I pay for everything with credit card. And I thought, I don't know, my lottery tickets, I need to get cash. I haven't gone to the cash station in ages.
Ah.
Because everything is just credit. So that's probably why.
I did not know it was cash. So it was a line at the ATM. There was a line out the door. I'm like, what is going on? Oh,
yep.
I forgot. Mega Millions crazy.
Going
it's
right
here.
From the bank to just, you know, flushing the money away.
Yeah,
just
I just
like
looked at my
us.
Account and said, it's going to be the same tomorrow.
Yeah, whatever. I know. And then you know what I'll do? So you just read all the numbers. I have the lottery ticket. I bought 5 tickets. Not one matched. I will still hang on to that ticket and check again tomorrow. Or I'll just check later.
Just to see.
Yeah, because you never know. Maybe I read it wrong.
that's the spirit.
Maybe at this crazy hour of the evening, you know, it was blurry. It wasn't.
Well, what
I
makes
still
you?
Lost.
What is it that makes you play? Because do you play when the jackpot is not a trillion gazillion
no,
dollars?
No, I never play the lottery unless it's several hundred million. I think when it goes over 200 or 300, when an inch is close to 5, absolutely.
But see, but your odds are better when
I know.
The winnings are smaller, so you should play when it's smaller.
You know where your odds are the best? So the pick three, your odds are, if you play the pick three, and this is according to the Illinois Lottery, and I did look this up one time. So if you play the same three numbers every day for 1 year, so 365 times that you play, you're bound to win at least once.
Really?
In that year. Yeah. So those are your best odds. I mean, I think you win $1,000, which would make up for $365.
No,
I mean,
you no win matter what the numbers
basically.
Are.
Yeah. So, no, you have to play the same three numbers. So say you play 1, 2, 3. If you play those numbers every single day for 1 year, they're bound to come up at least once.
Wow.
Yeah, so those are pretty good odds. It's just remembering to go every single day and play it.
That is a life hack for real.
I know,
I've
right?
I've never heard that. That's, you know, I'm
not
might
that
start,
I'm supporting gambling.
I
it
might
is legal,
start
though.
Playing the yeah, playing the lottery. Yeah, right. This is gambling.
If you need help, call Gamblers Anonymous. Tell them I sent you.
Right.
Oh, God. All right. Well, speaking of that, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to tell you guys about a brand new Amazon Go store that's going to be opening in the Illinois Center. This is remarkable. This is going to be opening very soon. We'll tell you all about it coming up next on 720 WGN. 1122, 720 WGN. We will talk Amazon Go in just a minute. Lauren Zumbach from the Tribune. I'm going to ask you to hold on one quick second. We have a call here to continue on about our lottery trauma. Hi, David Hochberg.
Hey, guys. Just want to let you know, took me an hour and a half to drive home from the United Center tonight, so I want to thank the Illinois Highway Authority for basically putting every road under construction around the United Center at the same time. So it was great. Great planning, guys. So how are you guys? You guys talking lottery?
Yeah, we are talking lottery. Did you win or what?
I didn't play because I'm a responsible person.
Oh, yeah. How could you not play?
It was $30,000 with credit card debt that's standing in line with the last $150 that they have to try to win $1 billion.
$1.6 billion, and you didn't play.
I did not play. I went to the gas station, I filled my car up with gas, and got the hell out of there as fast as possible because it was like zombies coming in to buy.
Well, we know Hochberg is already a gazillionaire.
That's right.
The reason why he didn't play.
$1.6 billion. That's like change. That's like in your wallet now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I
quit. He was standing on top of the United Center, like dropping $100 bills, like they dropped the T-shirts at the Blackhawks game.
I'd be taking helicopters back and forth as I was a gazillionaire.
Oh, Hochberg, I love you.
No, but you know what? Here the frustrating thing is that hopefully one person wins it, but there's going to be hundreds of thousands, not millions of people that don't win it. I understand if you don't win, you can't play. I get all that.
Yeah.
But it's... You know, it's this drug that people think, oh, my God, I'm going to be a billionaire like Donald Trump. I'm going to be a billionaire like Bill Gates.
We are. You never know. When it rolls over me and Domity, you're going to win it. So
yeah.
I just feel bad for the people out there that don't have any money, that are spending, that are investing in these tickets, that have a minute chance, a minuscule chance of winning. That's the only thing. I think, you know, that's the only thing. Just thought I'd bring joy to everybody's
You always bring joy. Look at you. You are you're the giver of joy.
Yeah, I'll give her, you know, financial joy and common sense.
Yeah.
So that's it. Enjoy your evening,
we
guys.
Love you, Hochberg.
Sleep.
Have a good one. That's the great David Hochberg, spreading joy wherever he goes. I'm still playing Domity. If it rolls over, you are too, yes?
Yes.
Awesome. We are on the same page with that. So let's move on to what we're going to buy when we win the lottery and the $2 billion. I don't know if you heard, but Amazon Go is going to open a brand new cashierless grab-and-go store in the Illinois Center next year. And Lauren Zumbach wrote this story today for the Tribune. And Lauren, tell us about this store. It's going to be a big one, but when's this going to open?
So the store is expected to open sometime in 2019. I don't know a whole lot more than that at this point, but that will actually be Amazon's fourth Go store in Chicago at that point.
Ooh, all right. Well, tell us what these stores are like. I know I've seen the videos, I've seen the pictures, I've never been to one, but is it like honor system?
Not exactly. So I was at the first one that they opened back in September, on opening day, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk in, and you have to have an app downloaded on your phone. So you scan that when you go in. That sort of lets the store know, hey, you've arrived. And as you walk around the store, you know, it looks a lot like kind of like a cross between an upscale grocery store with a lot of grab-and-go prepared food and snack items and a convenience store with some of those traditional, you know, packaged snacks and beverages and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So walk around, pick up what you want. But then instead of, you know, going up to the checkout counter and paying for your purchases, they've got this network of cameras and then sensors on all of the shelves that sort of keep an eye and track what you're picking up and putting back as you go through.
Okay.
So you go through turnstiles with what you've taken, and Amazon will add it all up in your online shopping cart and send you a bill a couple minutes after you walk out.
Okay, so to shop at the store, you have to have the app on your phone, though, right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Don't need to be a Prime member or anything like that, but do need to have downloaded the Amazon Go app before you come in.
So I'm Amazon, and I'm not Prime, which everybody and their brother asked why I'm not. I think I'm cheap. You know, when it comes to paying the Prime, I am one of those
Absolutely.
People. At Christmas time, I'll say, oh, can I? Are you? Do you have Prime, Lauren?
I do, actually.
Oh, good. So come Christmas,
so
I might.
I'm on the bandwagon. Yeah.
Okay, good. I might call you. No, I think the concept of these stores are really, really cool. I think just what blows my mind is that you can get anything on Amazon. You know, if you're looking for a pair of socks or a Wonder Woman T-shirt or a new pair of headphones. So how do they how do they decide what's going to be at the store? Because 2,000 square feet, while it's big, it's not that big as, like, say, a warehouse.
Right, right. And 2,000 square feet is actually one of their bigger stores, at least for the Go stores that are coming to Chicago. So for Amazon, the idea is this is very much meant to be sort of the quick grab-and-go, you know, convenient option for people who are, you know, stopping in maybe on a break from the office or on their way into work in the morning. So it's really, really focused on, you know, filling that kind of need. You know, the sort of purchases that, you know, you're probably not going to plan ahead and, you know, buy that soda that you want for your snack break or coffee on your way into work in the morning. You can't buy that online. So you got to go to the store for that. And so as they were thinking about, you know, the convenience option, that's where Amazon said that they were focused on eliminating, you know, if you're going to come into a physical in-person store, getting rid of one part of the experience that most people aren't crazy about, which is, you know, waiting in line to check out.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Lauren Zumbach from the Chicago Tribune. Lauren, can I ask you to hold on one quick second here?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and head to news, and we're going to talk more with Lauren actually about how many Amazon Go stores they're planning to open in the next few years. This number's fascinating to me. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. Thank you, Doma T. It's 11:36 on 720 WGN, the Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty is on vacation. Well, she's taking the night off. She'll be back with us tomorrow. We are talking with Lauren Zumbach, who wrote a great piece on the new Amazon Go store that's opening in the Illinois Center for the Chicago Tribune today. Lauren, you've been to this store. You've been to the openings of the others that are in Chicago. I'm curious, do you think this is kind of the new wave of the future when it comes to shopping? Do you think we're going to see more stores becoming cashierless as we go forward?
I mean, it's still pretty early days for this technology. You know, we've seen a lot of retailers experiment with trying to automate checkout in some form. I mean, think about times you've gone to the grocery store and done self-checkout.
Yeah.
What Amazon is doing definitely takes it a step further, though, with, you know, skipping that step entirely. You know, we're certainly going to see more stores from Amazon. They've got two open in the city so far. They've already talked about plans for two more. And they said that they're planning locations in Seattle and New York as well. You know, just how big it gets, they're not really saying too much more on that so far. But, you know, certainly something that, you know, they seem interested in testing out some new places.
Oh, big time, big time. Doma Tipongo in our newsroom. I know he's a big shopper. He had a question for you too, Lauren.
I am, man.
Sorry to out you there.
Yeah, I am. But I empathize sometimes with a lot of these labor unions and cashiers who have been protesting, and with the Fight for 15 movement. What have conversations been like around the efficiency of and the technology, how exciting that is around a store like this, but also what it does for jobs for folks? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that is one of the criticisms that's come up around this is, you know, people who are sort of worried that Amazon is using this to, you know, cut labor costs by having fewer people in the stores. You know, Amazon, for its part, said that that was not the goal, and that they were focused on the getting rid of the lines. You know, the stores do still have employees working in them, just not at checkout. So, you know, when I was at the store on opening day, there were a number of people, you know, out helping customers. Actually, on the first day, a lot of it was helping customers, you know, figure out how to get used to the idea of
no cashier,
you know. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, you really can leave.
You know, without someone stopping you and chasing you out.
Right. Amazon, you know, didn't want to say, you know, how many people they employed each store. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely going to be something that we'll have to wait and see.
You guys will laugh. When I was in Europe, God, I was in Switzerland maybe 10 years ago. They pay for, like, their L, you know, their subway system. It's all honor system. Mm-hmm. So I was visiting some friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, you just hop on and you hop off. And, you know, we pay, I use their tickets, but they pay at the start of the month, and they can bring whoever, you know, but they pay per person. And I went, well, how do they know you're not going to bring on 10 people and just pay for two? And they went, because it's the honor system. And I went, oh, you know, not that, you know, it just was so new to me that people follow that, and I'm glad they do and are legal about it. But I know in this case, there's cameras and there's sensors that track the purchases and stuff. I think it's just so bizarre to go to a store and there's no one checking you out.
Well, that's a different culture there.
Yeah.
Right.
More trusting.
Well, and even when I was at the, I, you know, asked people who were coming out of the store, you know, what it felt like. And people did comment that it felt kind of weird, and you know, you did see people sort of hesitating at first, but the people at Amazon I talked to said that, you know, in other cities it seems to have been a pretty quick adjustment.
Wow. Hey, Lauren, how many Amazon Go stores do they plan to open in the next few years?
You know, Amazon really has not talked a lot about just how big they see this getting.
Yeah.
You know, they've got 3 open in Seattle so far. 2 in Chicago, 1 in San Francisco, and you know, they've talked about, you know, 2 more on the way in Chicago and a couple other cities. You know, Bloomberg has reported that they're considering as many as 3,000 in the next couple of years. You know, like I said, Amazon, you know, really just says, you know, right now we're focused on these ones that we've got open and, you know, learning from you know, learning what they can, because it really is the first couple experiments. And I know in Chicago they said they were interested in seeing, you know, it's sort of the first time testing it in a city outside their home base in Seattle.
I don't know if there's an easy answer to this, and this is really really a problem for millennials, this generation, right? But you walk down the street, you see people always looking down at their phones. If you go to a coffee shop or a restaurant, you see folks barely looking at one another, and now we're at a space where we don't even want to interact with cashiers.
Right.
You know, like, how do we process this idea that technology is taking over so much that we're losing human interaction when you think about it?
That is a much bigger question than I have an answer for right now.
Yeah, right.
I know.
I will say it's a pretty limited selection, though. So it's you're not going to be able to get rid of every interaction just by going to this one store.
Right.
To be fair, I kind of like the idea of not having to talk to anyone when I shop, which
Listen
is kind of messed
yeah.
up. Yeah, it's
right.
kind of messed up, though.
Although when I'm with someone, they're always like, buy this. Oh, you should get that, too. You know, especially when you go shopping with a friend.
Yes.
Should I get 2 pairs?
Right.
Yeah, get one in each color. So I guess maybe that's the good side. But Lauren, Yumi and Domati, we have a date to go have salads and buy earbuds at the new Amazon Go store.
Yes.
Sounds like a plan.
Hey, thank you for joining us. I know it's late. We appreciate it. Great story. And let us know when the next one opens, okay?
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. That is the great Lauren Zumbach from the Chicago Tribune. You can read all of her stories at chicagotribune.com. One of the business writers for the Tribune. We love Lauren. And again, I'm loving it, Domati. We used to have, when we were at the Tribune Tower, a cashierless, remember, like, toward the end?
Oh, yes.
The little
yes,
cafeteria. It started
the
out.
The honor system downstairs in the old Tribune.
And that was so weird to me. You know, I got, I think, a bottle of water or something, and you go up and you scan it, and there's cameras everywhere, and we're all honest. You know, no one's going to walk out and try and lift a bottle of water, but there's cameras everywhere. It's just bizarre. And then it's kind of like you pay for it, and then you hold it up like, I'm good. I'm good.
I thought I was the only one.
I'm okay.
I remember one time I saw someone down there, and I kind of strike a conversation just so they see me swipe the thing
right,
and pay.
Right, right.
I just want you to see what's going on here. They don't even care.
Buying my water here.
But you never really get used to that.
I know. Do you go, when I go to the store, if I go to a Jewel I will self-checkout. Because I was a checker at Jewel years ago when I was in high school, and I will always do the self-checkout if I can. But never with more than 15 items, because it drives me crazy when people pull up whole shopping carts to the
self-checkout.
To the small checkout, yeah.
Yeah, the self-checkout is usually quicker, because people only come with an item or two. But isn't it, I don't know if this is the case with you, but the self-checkout is kind of glitchy, too.
I know, yeah. If you don't know the item number or the code of the fruit, you have
yes.
to look it up. I know.
Or if you got one of those machines where they weigh
yes.
The items in your bag, and they're like, pick up item, pick up. I'm like, I picked
right.
it up.
Or if you buy gum, and you put it in the bag, and it's like,
yes.
put the item in the bag. I did, but it's not registering, because it's, you know, a quarter of a pound pack of gum.
Then you've got to call the attendant
yeah.
over. Now you spent 10 minutes on
right.
something that would have taken 5 seconds.
And then they look at you, they give you the, oh, God. Yeah,
right.
Learn how to do it right.
So we'll always need someone to correct the
right.
computers. But, you know, as the technology evolves, I think we're going to see a lot fewer cashiers.
I think so, too. I think that's kind of the new wave of the future. We'll go check out the store. It's in the Pedway. It's in the Illinois Center, just east of Michigan Avenue and south of the river. So we'll have to go check that out. So thanks to Lauren again. And coming up next, there's a huge gala in Chicago this weekend. The Human Rights Campaign. Their big gala is
so
on
exciting.
Saturday. I know, right? That's going to be a blast. It always is. We'll tell you all about it coming up next on 720 WGN. It's 720 WGN, the Patty Baskett Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty is off tonight. I am so happy to have on the phone, though, with me, Penelope Garcia. She is the HRC Chicago Gala co-chair and steering committee member. The upcoming HRC Chicago Gala is coming up this weekend. It is one of the most fun, memorable, exciting events in the city. And Penelope, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the HRC Gala. Let's start there, because this, I know, is a big event. Everyone's climbing over each other for tickets to this.
It is. It's actually a very exciting event. You know, about 650 of your closest friends in actually this year a masquerade theme. So that's going to be exciting. But this will be the 27th year for the HRC Gala. And it's our biggest fundraising opportunity to kind of help all those causes that HRC fights for. So this is an exciting way to get out, celebrate some for, you know, LGBTQ equality, and also get involved in kind of a fun way, too.
Now, the Human Rights Campaign represents a force of more than 3 million members and supporters nationwide. And I know the Chicago chapter is huge. Dean Richards has supported this for years. WGN Radio and TV has been a huge supporter for years. Let's talk a little bit about HRC and how it started so small and is now 3 million members strong, Penelope.
Yeah, the great thing about HRC is that it really, the strength is in the volunteers and the members that we have. And really, we spread out throughout the country. And HRC's main goal is really fighting for LGBTQ equality and, you know, ensuring that all LGBTQ Americans are ensured the same rights as everybody else. Now, like you said, they did start out small, and they've really expanded their mission over the years. And this year, it's definitely a pressure year. So there's a lot of great initiatives. HRC is out there, you know, working in pro-equality states and also working in those states that need a little bit of help mm-hmm. for our pro-equality candidates.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about that. Why is now such a critical time for the LGBTQ community?
Well, there's a lot that's happening right now. Specifically, you know, one of the things that came out this week is the Trump administration is actually working to essentially redefine and define out transgender individuals. And a lot of this stemmed from originally rescinding Title IX guidance from the Obama era when it came down to bathroom access, gender identity, and everything else when it came to discrimination. And now they're actually looking at rewriting not only through Title IX guidances, but other departments to basically say that gender identity is unchangeable from birth and therefore trying to define out transgender individuals. So HRC is really out there trying to get a voice and really make sure that we've got some visibility out there and to let people know what's happening. This is really a critical time in our country.
I love this moniker. As the largest national lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer civil rights organization, HRC envisions a world where LGBTQ people are ensured of their basic equal rights. That seems so common sense, and yet in 2018, we're still fighting for basic equal rights for so many people.
No, it really is. And, you know, I myself, I identify as a transgender woman. I came out about 6 years ago and have experienced firsthand a lot of what happens out there. And here we are, 2018. We like to say that we're a modern society, but at the same time, we're really working actively to deny a whole classification of individuals, just basic human rights.
Should the community be afraid? I mean, is this a time where 2015, gay marriage became legal in the country thanks to the Obama administration? Is this a time where gay marriage is in jeopardy? I mean, is it going to revert? Do we have to fear this now?
Well, ultimately, I think what people need to hold on to is each other and community. Without that, then, yes, fear will set in. But ultimately, as long as we stand strong, stand together, make sure that we're here and make some noise, we're going to actually stand up for our rights no matter what. Transgender people, we're not going to be erased. The LGBTQ people, we are not going to go back in the closet. And as long as we stand strong and stand together and have a united voice, you know, there's nothing to fear for. But we need to be active. We need to get out there. We need to get out the vote. This year, we've got the most amount of LGBTQ candidates running. So we need to be out there and supporting them so we can actually have some change for the future.
It has to make you feel good. I mean, I know Chicago has such a huge gay community and a huge transgender community as well. I know we celebrate Pride Month in June, but the outpouring of support should be all year round. It is so nice to see, though, at least for our Pride Parade here, usually a million people show up and line those streets, and you see families, moms, dad, moms and moms, dads and dads, their kids, their adopted kids, their children by in vitro, their natural children. It's wonderful. Don't you sense that? Like the communities and families and everybody really coming together, especially today in this day and age.
Well, that's one of the wonderful things about Pride. And, you know, Pride is all about community. It's all about celebrating, you know, each other and, you know, the love that really does bind us. And one of the things I really have to kind of actually mention here is during the HRC gala, we actually always want to end up recognizing the communities and individuals that have really had an impact. And our community award this year is going to be Indivisible Aurora because they really had an impact. They brought the second largest city in the state of Illinois. They brought their first ever Pride Parade in this year. They did face some opposition with the city and some other people initially, but they persevered. And, you know, as somebody who definitely saw the whole process unfold, it was utterly amazing to see a town come together and celebrate Pride. It's really about embracing community.
Their police chief is one of my best friends, and she has really broken barriers and made roadblocks for Aurora. So absolutely, props to them.
Oh, yeah. Indivisible's been doing some great, great work in Aurora for sure.
Absolutely. The HRC Gala, I didn't realize it was the largest fundraiser in the Midwest. What can we expect to see at the gala and the auction, and how can people still get tickets?
Well, tickets you can get right through our website at hrcchicago.org. /gala, that'll actually take you right to the gala page where you can get tickets. And so you can purchase those all the way through Friday. That's definitely not a problem when it comes down to that. Now, as far as what to expect, it definitely is a large fundraiser. Like I said, about 650 of your favorite pro-equality friends are going to be there. And you're going to have the community award, which is going to go to Indivisible Aurora. Very honored to be giving that. And we have a visibility award that's going to be given to Nicole Maines. And she's actually a very interesting young activist and also actress as well. Also identifies as a trans woman and has been in the forefront of fighting for some trans equality.
Yeah.
Now, we also have a silent auction, which is awesome. There's great items from across the city, things from artwork to getaways to gift cards. And, you know, there's also, you know, some fun baskets that might have some wine and other things in there too to check out.
Nice.
So that's always very popular. We do also have a live auction that takes place during the actual event too. So there's definitely a lot happening. And you can unwind. We've got an after party that's happening at the hotel. And Tao's actually hosting an after off-site party for us too. So that's actually really great.
And do you want to just emphasize again, Penny, how important it is to get out and vote with this being such a crucial time for the LGBTQ community?
It's essential to get out and vote. I can't stress that enough. Early voting is out there. Find where it's at. Look for your polling places. But really, we have an opportunity in this historic time to actually make some wonderful change for equality. But it really needs everybody to participate and get out there and vote. out.
And get out there and bid.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Again, the HRC Gala is this weekend, October 27th at the Chicago Marriott downtown, the Mag Mile. Tickets are still available, a limited number at hrcchicago.org. Penny, thank you so much for your time and for talking about your inspiring story and anything else we need to know.
You know, just bring that masquerade mask and we'll see you on Saturday.
Bring that credit card.
That too.
Penny, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk soon. More after this on 720 WGN. Someone might be $1.6 billion richer by the time you go to bed or by the time we all wake up tomorrow at some point. Hey, thanks for being with us. It's 12:07. Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty is off tonight. And there was just a few hours ago the $1.6 billion mega jackpot drawing. I didn't win. Michael, our producer, didn't win. Doma T, our news anchor, didn't win. Adam, our engineer, didn't win. We hope somebody won. Okay, sorry. We hope it rolled over, don't we? Come on, let's be real. But it's okay. You know, if it didn't, if somebody won money, which is, we're very happy for them a little bit, you're basically burning your cash, or so says Barry Nelson, a professor of industrial engineering and management sciences at Northwestern's McCormick School of Engineering. Barry, tell us the truth. Is it basically burning cash? Should we be happy that we didn't win this?
Oh, you shouldn't be happy you didn't win, that's for sure. But right. Yeah, playing the lottery is pretty much just doing something for fun, because over the long run, you'll lose.
Right. And the odds are 1 in 320 million. And I know that goes up as the jackpot goes up as well. But you're kind of offering a unique perspective on probability, decision making, and lottery rage. What's lottery rage, first of all?
So, Andrea, I'm not really much of an expert on lottery, but I am knowledgeable about how people evaluate risk. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things you just said to me was that the odds go up when the jackpot goes up.
Yeah.
But that's actually not the case. The odds of winning don't change no matter what the jackpot is.
Really?
But the potential payoff, what we call the expected value of playing the game, does go up. And actually right now at $1.6 billion, we're at one of those unusual times where the expected value is actually positive, but it's only about $3.50.
Okay, which is
that
much.
Means if you got to play this game over and over again, with exactly a $1.6 billion jackpot, on average you'd be making about $3.52,
which is nothing.
Which is nothing.
Which is not even going to get me a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
No, it really isn't. And the jackpot has to get up to $600 million before you even break even. Otherwise, you really are just throwing your money away.
All right, so now you have two main ideas from neuroeconomics underlying the current lottery frenzy. Why don't we talk about those?
Okay.
All right, first we observe that the human mind does not proportionally increase the weight or importance it attributes to things as their likelihood increases. What does that mean?
So I'm an engineer, and I can just tell you that people tend to inappropriately weight the likelihood of things, mm-hmm. and they also don't take into account the actual consequences. So we look at that $1.6 billion, and that's really large, but we're not able to account for the fact that the probability of it happening is so small.
I get it. Okay, so that means we place more importance on events that will never happen.
Right, particularly we get attracted by that big number.
Okay, so is it bad for our health when we all start dreaming and talking about things we're going to buy?
Well, I don't know. Again, I'm an engineer and more work out on the numbers. But, you know, the way I look at the lottery is as long as it's played for fun, it's like any other entertainment, right? You go to a movie and you get something back out of it. If you play the lottery and you enjoy the anticipation of maybe being the winner, and somebody does win, that's a lot of fun. But if you want to look at it as an investment strategy, it's not a good one.
Okay, so we know, now this is called, I had to do a little research on this, Barry. Relative preference mm-hmm. theory. We know you say that people are much more willing to bet on risky events than they are to sock away resources, like maybe insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
That sounds right to me.
Yeah, well, tell me why.
So, I think I am not a person that deals with the psychology of risk. I'm a person who deals with the evaluation of it. So I can tell you how to assign numbers to it, which is difficult for most people to do. And it's also difficult when you have multiple risks, like the cost of the $2 ticket mm-hmm. versus the potential big payoff, to be able to know how, in a rational way, to figure out the value of that proposition.
Okay, so from this perspective, you say instead of putting $20 toward buying 10 tickets, use that money to donate it to a medical cause that's important to you, because if you buy the tickets, you're basically burning your money.
Yeah, now I was asked a question when I was interviewed earlier about this, about does it increase your odds if you buy more tickets? And it does increase your odds of actually winning, but you also have a greater investment in it. And that's another example of how it's difficult for people to put those calculations together to see what their ultimate payoff would be.
So if you buy 10 tickets, you do have a better chance of winning than as opposed to buying just one.
Absolutely. Yep. Because you're covering more numbers, and the more numbers you cover, the greater the chance that yours will actually be picked. But you've also spent more money, right? So you're now at a $2 ticket, you're now at $20.
Right.
So when we look at that expected value calculation, your chances of winning have gone up very, very slightly, but you've now put 10 times as much money down on it.
Okay, I think I got it. Now, if you ever win big, and this is as big as they come, then should we stop playing because we've beaten the odds?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So somebody is going to win, right? It's like pulling slot machines or anything else like that. If you ever win, if you have the discipline to stop, then you're sitting great because you've beaten the odds. But if you continue to play in something like a lottery, ultimately, in the end, you're going to continue draining cash.
Well, what about these lottery players who win 2 and 3 and 4 times? But maybe they're playing completely different games. Does that increase their chances of winning if they're playing different games too?
Well, it increases their chance of winning if they're playing games with better odds,
okay.
Right? So the odds in the Mega Millions are pretty dismal. And so if they're playing, say, state lotteries that might have better odds. And again, this is one of the other things that that is hard for us to comprehend when it comes to risk.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's not independent. It looks like somebody has greater luck. But actually, just by chance, there will be clustering. If people play, it will appear as if there are some people that win more often and others that don't. But that's actually still just a function of chance.
Okay. Now, you're a numbers guy, so you'll like some of these numbers that our producer Mike just handed me. People are more likely to do the following than win the lottery. You're more likely to die from an asteroid strike than win $1.6 billion in the lottery. The chances of you dying from an asteroid strike are 1 in 74,817,414.
Yep, that's sure a lot more likely.
Okay, now becoming a movie star. A lot of people dream of becoming the next Meryl Streep or Robert De Niro. Your chances of becoming a movie star are far better than winning a lottery. 1 in 1,505,000. Those are your chances of becoming a movie star.
Yeah, that's loads better.
Yeah,
and I like those chances, actually.
I like those. Yeah, you need to pick up and become an actor in Hollywood.
So, okay.
You have a better chance than you. Wait, you know, and I'm talking to the only guy, Barry, who actually won on all of our lottery tickets tonight. He got the Mega Ball. Producer Mike.
Well, so he did actually. That he recoups his. His investment, right? What I remember?
Didn't you actually make money? Because did you buy one ticket?
Oh, you know what? Let's say that for the audience,
okay.
But actually about three. So down $2.
You're still better than me. I bought $10 worth and won nothing. I didn't match one number. How bad are those odds, Barry? I buy 10 tickets, and out of all those numbers, I didn't hit one.
That was far the most likely thing to happen when you bought those 10 tickets, actually.
You. So the numbers are in my favor there. You know, everybody says you're more likely to get struck by lightning than win the lottery. That is absolutely true. Your chances of getting struck by lightning are 1 in 1,101,000.
Yeah, I mean, lightning strikes happen pretty regularly, actually. So that's much higher than the lottery.
And I play golf. So, again, you know, that probably decreases my odds in that category, too. Do you love these numbers? I know you're a numbers guy. Do you love these numbers? Do you just do kind of stats all day?
Well, so what I try to do in my job at Northwestern is really I'm trying to teach students to be able to help the companies that they work for manage risk.
Okay.
Because companies are every day making choices about large investments, about new products that they're going to develop, new areas that they might move in, new projects to take on. All of these things have risks. And just like you're talking about this evening, people are not very good at evaluating and trading off risks. And so what we try to teach students is the way to actually quantify that so that their companies can make rational and hopefully profitable decisions.
It sounds much safer.
Well, we try to make it safer at any rate.
Barry, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. Where can people find out more about you? Or where can we take one of your classes? I need to take one of your classes.
Well, we do actually teach I teach in a night program. It meets on Wednesday nights, so you could come in right before you go to work.
Right
it's earlier than you start. And it's designed for working people who are wanting to bone up on some of these kinds of techniques in the evening.
I think
I need
to do that.
Northwestern University, yeah, through the Industrial Engineering and Management Sciences Department.
Excellent. Professor, thank you so much for being with us, and I promise I will not spend all this money on lottery tickets next time.
Very good. You're sure welcome, Andrea.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great night. That's Barry Nelson, Professor of Industrial Engineering and Management Sciences at the McCormick School of Engineering. By the way, some of these, I love these stats, Michael, that you gave me. These are so funny. 85% of winners choose to remain anonymous. How about that? I think I'd remain anonymous. The odds of winning this particular lottery, again, 350 billion to one. Yet we were just talking about multiple winners. There was a family from Tipton, West Midlands. They have had three separate jackpot wins. We can't even win one, and one family has won $3.25 million. Can you believe that?
They are so lucky. We need to find them and befriend them, I think.
Right, and their odds, what did Barry say? Their odds got better because they played multiple times and multiple games. But, I'm telling you, I've never been good at the odds.
You know, but I bet that family, if we had them on the show right now, if they called in, I bet you they play every single day. Like
I bet
every
you're right.
week. It's just like money just going into the lottery every single day.
I bet if we had them in studio, one of us would get struck by lightning. One in 1,101,000.
I think Barry said the odds for that are happening are pretty good. Actually.
I know. And did you hear he kind of laughed? I love Barry, the numbers guy. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, get struck by lightning. You have a real good chance of that, Miss Golfer.
Or the asteroid strike.
I know.
Think that was those odds weren't too good.
Oh, I know. Steve Grzanich is geeking out right now. He would kill to see an asteroid strike, my God, even if it hit him. The largest jackpot with one ticket ever was won by a woman in Florida in 2013, and she won $590 million in that payout. And the average number of cars that millionaire lottery winners purchase, 4.5. Don't you love these stats?
Really?
So is it like 4.5 cars they buy?
Huh.
It'd be like 4 cars in a Kia.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, is that like 4 cars in like the Mini? Like a few Lambos?
And a Mini Coupe. Exactly, right?
Well, good for them.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this. The most drawn lotto number. What do you think it is? The most drawn lotto ball.
Okay, so it goes up to what, like
you can have three
70?
Guesses. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I'm gonna go
three choices.
My favorite number is 27.
Okay, that's
so,
not it.
Five.
No.
Or one.
38.
What?
Isn't that weird? The most drawn lottery number is 38.
I wonder why that is.
Boy, that's weird.
Man.
70% of people are convinced that they'll win. I would think that's higher, don't you?
Yes.
The way we all talk about it.
It's so funny because did you have this thing where you're like in an office pool or something like that and you're like, oh man, I don't want to split it with that person. And you're just like, you don't win yet, but you're already like deciding how much are you going to spend your money and who you're going to split it with and everything.
Oh, I know. And then would you actually do it?
I might have to break up with somebody if I bought a share ticket.
Right.
I feel like that would tear us apart. I don't know what I would do because I don't know. If it really came down to it, what you would think about if you had $1 billion at your fingertips, what would you do? Would you give up like a friendship for
No,
for
it depends who
bucks?
I bought the ticket with. You know, if I bought it with a loved one, absolutely, because
okay.
You know, we bought it together, we'll split it, absolutely.
Yeah.
If it was, okay, for example, Judy Pilek was on vacation last week, and she wasn't, we didn't buy any tickets for 1.6, but she was here for the $1 billion, the little one, Michael, the $1 billion one. So she said, before she left for vacation, she said, if I win, I'll give you $5 million, and if you win, you give me $5 million. I said, okay. And I walked out, we said deal, and we gave each other high five and pinky swear. And I walked out and I thought, am I going to really give her $5 million? Well, now that I lost, I could say, absolutely, I would have.
Yeah, of course.
You know, gosh, oh, I feel so bad I wasn't able to give you your, you know, what I owed you, your $5
million. Well, it's nice of you that you guys shared. I mean, that's really kind.
Yeah, now that it didn't happen.
Yeah, do you think Judy would have really gave you the $5 million, though?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I've known her 20 years. I don't think she would have. I love her like a sister, but there's no way she would have. She would have quit. Dave Kaplan used to say years ago, you know Cap.
Yeah.
Dave would say, he said, I'd still come back to work. I'd come mm-hmm. back to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
I don't. And back then, I said, yeah, if I want, I would like fax you for my limo, for my Carfax. Sorry.
This is a while ago.
Not coming in. I know. This is a long time ago. Are there even fax machines anymore?
I don't even know if we have one here at the station, to be
honest. I don't think we do.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
If it is, it's buried somewhere.
You know what we should do? With $1 billion, bring back the fax machine.
There you go.
That's it.
Bring back the fax machine. More after this on 720 WGN. WGN, just a few minutes away from Domati's news. So we were talking lottery here, and Domati, I'm hearing.
Yes.
I'm hearing.
There's a winner.
But not in Illinois.
Not in Illinois. South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yay. We're happy for that person.
We're happy for that. Yeah. Didn't happen here, so we can rest easy.
Did they match one winner matched all numbers?
Matched all numbers. Tickets sold in South Carolina. But so far, that's all we know. The state is set to list or reveal some more information later on today. But apparently, a person matched all numbers.
Wow. All right. So, Domati, would you remain anonymous?
Absolutely.
I would too. Michael, would you?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I would too.
I can't think of an incentive for coming out.
No, I know. I can't either because lawsuits, friends and family coming out of the woodworks. You didn't even know that, you know, they say they're related to you.
Right.
There was a producer here many years ago who actually won the lottery. And I think it was $1 million prize. So it wasn't, you know, a multi-billion-dollar prize like this one, but still a very significant amount of money. He ended up quitting his job. And he said it was awful because truly, you know, the old adage that people are coming out of the woodwork and saying that they know you or they're related to you. He said it was unbelievable. He was getting dozens of phone calls a day from people that he went to grade school with and high school with. This
wow.
is pre-Facebook, pre-social media. And he said it was awful. You know, he was having to hang up on people, turn people away from his house. He ended up moving. And then he actually passed away about 5 years after he won the lottery.
Oh,
so it's
no.
just kind of sad, yeah.
That is terrible, but that's exactly what your guest was talking about moments ago.
Exactly, yeah. That, you know, just...
Do you remember how he passed? Was it something related to...
I think he got sick. No, I think he got sick. He had contracted something, I believe a disease, and passed away. It was just very, very sad.
Money can't solve all problems.
Absolutely.
I think that is the big
thing
here.
There you go.
And just being grateful for what we have now.
It's so, so, so true. Incidentally, only 52% of winners who won $1 million or more left their jobs. I thought that number would be much higher. So it just goes to show that people are very higher. Do you have a winning ticket there? What are you holding?
I was looking.
What are you holding?
You brought up something very interesting, and I just
Michael's holding his lottery. He's clutching them.
It's like, wait a minute. I think I might have won. Nope. Still lost. Still poor. you were mentioning the fact that if you would remain anonymous or not, if that would be a thing you can do. And I don't think that here in Illinois that's legal to do, because actually on the back of your ticket and in some states around the country, and since this is a multi-state lottery, you need to
sign it.
You need to sign it. Then, but it also says on the back here, the holder of this ticket agrees to participate in interviews with lottery public relations personnel and news media and grants permission to use his or her name and likeness in lottery advertising.
Right.
So to win, you actually need to not remain anonymous.
You're right. In Illinois, you're absolutely right.
I think you can remain anonymous in Arizona and Maryland.
Okay.
And in Georgia, if you win more than $250,000.
I wonder about South Carolina. There was the winner, I believe it was North Carolina, and she wanted to remain anonymous and went to court. And I think they ruled she could stay anonymous.
Oh wow!
That was like a couple $100 million one. That wasn't a billion. But still,
and all the court proceedings were anonymous as well.
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna say
no cameras in the courtroom. Not for that one anyway.
Historic case we're watching.
Exactly, right?
Of Lady Jane Doe.
Exactly.
Getting her $1 million.
Oh, man. I would move. I would definitely move, change my number. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I would too. I would change my number. I would remain anonymous. You know what? I think just for that reason, because everybody'd be calling. You know, and we all are good people. We would take care of the people we love and our friends and that kind of thing. It's just the people who you don't know who just claim to know you. That, I think, would be the hardest part.
Like, hey, Andre, remember that one time I bought you a coffee that time?
Have you guys had... Okay, you don't have to get specific or anything, and I know we're coming to news in a sec here, Domity, but have either of you had somebody ask you for a crazy request just because you work in the media?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. What's a crazy request?
Well, okay, for example, so I had a friend of mine, truly, from grade school... So this is, I went to a grade school, you know, first grade through sixth, and then a junior high, different school, and then a different high school. I know some schools are like K through 8 or K through 12, you know, depending. So this is grade school, and I got a Facebook message from this girl, and I remember her, and she was very nice. We've not really kept in touch over the years, except we're Facebook friends. You know, she'll like some of my posts, I'll like some of hers. Again, not besties by any stretch. She asked if I had Super Bowl tickets for the year the Bears went to the Super Bowl, the Kyle Orton years.
That is pretty random. That's
okay,
random.
Come on.
I'm not kidding. How random is it? And we're not a, you know, we have the Blackhawks. I think we had the Cubs at the time. We had Northwestern. It's not like we had football on the station. And I thought, oh my God, if I get Super Bowl tickets, I'm going.
Right,
but that
right,
was
right.
A crazy request. You know, like,
I've
hey.
Had artists who I went to high school with ask me if I could get their music played on the radio. I said, I work in talk radio. I mean,
right.
You could play it for 20 seconds, yeah. I guess.
Right. Like, you can use them as a bump music.
Yeah, that's about
next
all
time you
got.
Host.
That's it.
There you go. We'll play them. We'll play some of that. All right. After the news, I'm going to ask you if you think agreeable people get less money at work than people who are disagreeable. We'll talk about that after the news right now. Thank you, Domity. 1235, 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty is off tonight. She'll be back with us tomorrow. Incidentally, tomorrow we have a very, very special show for you from 7 until 10 p.m. It's our Alzheimer's special. Again, a very special show. We are going to have on a panel of experts. We're going to be talking to folks living and suffering from Alzheimer's disease, their partners and spouses. We're going to have an entire panel understanding the warning signs and the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia and explaining the difference, hear the developments that have been made in research, and get insights into what it's like living with and caring for someone with Alzheimer's. And speaking of support, you can still join the fight against the disease. There's still time to sign up for the Walk to End Alzheimer's on Sunday, October 28th at Montrose Harbor. Details at WGNradio.com/events. Okay, couple of texts that we're getting in here. I mentioned the odds of playing the pick three. I said, if you play the pick three, and this was an article that I read, the same numbers every day for 1 year, you're bound to win at least once. So someone from the 262, thank you for the text. Andrea, the pick three plays 250 if you hit it exactly and 40 if you box it. So kind of like a horse race. Scott says, so if you play 1, 2, 3 straight box, you win 290. But if it comes in at 3, 2, 1, or 1, 3, 2, you know, if the numbers are mixed around, you win $40 just for boxing it. So thank you, Scott. I did not know that. That's very interesting. Hi to Jim Allen. Thanks for listening. Definitely get out there and vote. If you haven't had a chance to vote yet, obviously you have time. It's November 6th is Election Day. Many of you choose to go to the polls, and I highly encourage you to do that. But the old early voting sites are now open. They're spread out throughout Cook County and throughout the state of Illinois as well. And the two super sites, a friend of mine from Channel 9 just voted at the super site today at 171 East Washington. It is huge. There's no waiting in line. There's more than 100 voting machines out there. So get on out there and vote. And thanks, Jim Allen, for listening. Thanks to David Hochberg for listening as well and for calling in. And thanks to the 773, you cannot remain anonymous in Illinois. And I still think, I think I saw you, Michael, signing your lottery ticket, so I don't know what's going on in there.
You've got some all-star listeners tonight, by the way.
I know, right? Thank you for texting in, 312-981-7200. You can always call or text to join the conversation. All right, this story I really like because it reminds me of both of you, Michael and Domity. You two are so nice and so fun to work with and so polite and so agreeable.
That means we're poor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Why did you know there was a butt coming?
I knew it. I knew that. It's got to be.
This is a new study out of London. Nice people are paid less than their colleagues and more likely to go bankrupt. Okay, now scientists discovered that the issue is not that agreeable people are more cooperative and easy to manipulate, but pleasant individuals are less focused on financial gain and place less importance on money than their pushier peers. So it's not that you guys aren't nice. It's that you got like the Bertrands in there and, you know, the pushy people in the newsroom and, you know, all those other producers, Michael, like the Hushes and, you know, the Cashes. You just got to watch them.
Yeah. Always an eye on them.
They're pushier people.
Got to watch that Cash.
I know. God, she's so sweet and pleasant.
Got to watch her. Such a go-getter. You know.
Nice people are paid less than their colleagues and more likely to go bankrupt. This is quite interesting. So they did this study. And they found that there are four personality clusters that we all fall into. So, all right, so I'm going to read these descriptions, and you tell me what categories you guys think you fall into.
Okay.
So there's the average person. Average people are high in neuroticism and extroverts, while low in openness. Females are more likely than males to fall into the average type. Now, that doesn't make sense, because we are pretty neurotic. An extrovert.
So they said high neuroticism and extrovert.
They're extroverted,
but low openness.
Low openness, right? You're not willing to let people in.
But you're
guarded.
You're still extroverted.
Yeah, you're extroverted, but you are not trusting.
Okay.
I think I'd fall into that category. Maybe that is a female category. Okay. Are you reserved? The reserve type is emotionally stable, but not open, not neurotic. And not necessarily extroverted. They're just agreeable and conscientious. That's the reserve type. Okay, now there's the role model. The role model score lower in... God, what is it with neuroticism? Role models score low in neuroticism and high in all the other traits. The likelihood that someone is a role model increases dramatically with age. You guys are young, but you're still role models. Right? Wouldn't you consider yourselves role models?
I'm going to go Charles Barkley and say I'm not a role model.
Oh, you're just humble.
That's my Charles Barkley impersonation.
Now you're being reserved. That's pretty good, by the way.
Terrible. It was terrible.
Terrible. Okay, again, women are more likely than men to be role models. And these are just the categories. Okay. I don't mean role model overall. These are just the categories in this study. Now, then there's the self-centered person. Mm-hmm. Self-centered people score very high in extroversion, below average in openness, agreeableness, and conscientiousness. These are people that you don't want to hang out with, says the professor of the psychology in charge of the study. There's a very dramatic decrease in the number of self-centered types as people age, both with women and men. I'd say neither of you guys are self-centered.
Nah, I can't even think of... it's interesting, though, because as you read them, I'm sure you guys... Did you guys think of people, not just at work, but just in your life that might have fit in different buckets?
Oh, yeah, totally,
categories?
Bertrand. Yeah, with a lot of this. Yeah. My God, seriously. You could have written this.
That is hilarious. I think I might be closer to number one, which is interesting. You said it might be more of a female category, but most of my best friends are women. And I've got two big sisters, no brothers.
There you go, yeah.
I think I fit in the... Well, I'm extroverted, but... I might not share all of my personal business unless I feel really comfortable with someone.
Right. Yeah. And you're not neurotic, and you're emotionally stable.
Emotionally stable. Now, what does neurotic mean, though? Does that mean like you live in your head?
I think you get in your head. I could maybe say this safely because I am a woman. I would say more women are a little more neurotic about things. Just because, you know, we pay attention to detail, and we have so much going on as far as like hair, makeup,
I agree.
Not that you guys don't focus on your hair and your makeup. I have another story, too, about how often you should wash your hair, by the way.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll do that after the break. But, I would say you guys are either... I see a little bit of all these qualities in you both, though. Average, reserved, and role models. Because you guys do mentor, you know, the younger producers and the younger reporters coming in.
The hard thing about these lists, Mike, I don't know where you fall on this, but it's you probably hear a piece of yourself in all of these categories.
Mm-hmm.
And these psychologists like to put things, well, education likes to put things in categorical buckets so you can study them, but it doesn't quite work like that. Because
right.
I'm an extroverted introvert, but I don't know if that I'm not neurotic, you know.
But yet you can be both. We can all kind of be introverted when we need to be.
Yes.
You know, if we're doing an interview or, you know, when you want to focus on your interviewee or your subject, but extroverted to secure the interview, maybe. you know, to get the interview.
Because Andre is an extrovert, but don't catch her without her coffee. If she hasn't had her coffee, you say hi and bye, you mind your business.
Right, right, absolutely. At least two cups in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's so true.
And it kind of changes each day, too. And even like hour by hour, often, it's and who you talk to. Because when you're in with a certain group of people, you can be very, very extroverted. And with another type of people, you can be a little bit neurotic at the same time and be like, well, you know, I know that they act kind of squirrely or they're really hyper into like movies or film or music.
Yeah.
And then you can be really like hyper focused on that. But when you're with your like buddies who are watching the sports game,
Oh, like a football game. Like a baseball game, sure.
You could be more into that. So it's you're always changing. So with these, like Domati said, these educators like to put everything in just boxes, but there's so many other elements that go into it that it's hard to be like, oh, this is the type of person I am. This is why I always failed at those personality tests
in school. Yeah.
I don't know if you can fail them or not, but when you took the test, I don't know if they still
do Myers-Briggs.
Or when you need to learn about what field of a job you're going to go to in later in your life.
Right.
I was always like carpenter or something.
Oh,
like
no.
That.
So really? Are you handy? Means.
Kind of. But I don't right? go into my whole life.
See? Agreeable people get less money at work and are most likely to go bankrupt.
I do not agree with that.
I know. I don't either. I really don't either. Because I think you should always be nice. You know? You should,
yeah.
It's more, what did Bozo say? It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
I like that. I like that a lot. I do agree with the study, though. I actually agree with it. I think I've seen situations where when I'm freelancing and I do mentor a lot of young media personalities and a lot of women, because a lot more women in journalism, they tend to be okay with, you know, they get a price and they say, you know, can I ask for more? Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Ask for more.
Totally. I so agree with you, Domati. If I could give any advice, my first job, okay, this is many, 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 many moons ago, but my first job in radio, I was offered $14,000. It was a job in Champaign. Mm-hmm. I took a job in Joliet. I was making $16,000. We had new owners come in. A few years went by. And they said, we're going to give you, I want to say it was like 18,000. I don't know, maybe 20. I said, okay. And then a friend of mine who was also kind of in the room for the negotiations, he said, oh my God, why'd you just accept it? Why did you, you know, I said, I don't know. And he said to me, you know, and he's a very good friend still to this day. And he said, you know, is it because you're a woman you didn't want to stand up and say, hey, you know what, I'm worth X amount of money? I said, maybe it is. But yeah, I find that too. You know, that you're just agreeable and you're like, okay.
That maybe you don't want to fit into that stereotype of the difficult or
right.
maybe demand what you want. A woman is framed as emotional, but a guy is, he's a boss. He
right.
demanded what he, you know.
Absolutely.
I have friends who, you know, we mentor one another. And they are more experienced in certain areas. And I find out that I make more than them in certain things. Like if I go speak at an event, I'm like, my price should not be higher than yours. You
right.
need to ask for more. It's not because people aren't willing to pay you. They hang up the phone and say, oh, she really only took that.
People, you know, people outside of our industry, don't you guys find people outside of our industry think that, you know, we're making the $1.6 billion and are stunned when they find out. And they're like, wait, why is it different? Why is it different for Michael and Domati and Andrea and, you know, fill in the blank, Patty, whoever, Adam, our engineer? Why is it so inconsistent? You know, and that because they're in a corporation where the men and the women are paid equal. Or, you know, the person who's been there 20 years is making more than the person who's been there 10.
Right.
You know, where our business is just so inconsistent.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So I don't know. In any negotiation, they always say, you know, whatever number the person gives, they're willing to give more.
Yes.
You give higher, then you guys fall somewhere in the middle. You don't want to price right. yourself out of an opportunity. But
right.
in any job, not just this business, any job, you can, you know, you can haggle a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. Dopey, you're hired.
You know?
You're my new agent.
You know, I need to be less agreeable.
I know. I was going to say, we don't want to be part of this study anymore.
Right. No, I will not be your agent. Let me practice now. Be less agreeable.
Right. Agreeableness associated with lower credit scores and income. No.
Oh, ouch. No. Saying no to everything. No.
Oh, I know, right? Exactly. Well, we won't say no to this. We'll take a quick break and come back after this on 720 WGN. What a great show tonight. Don't forget our special Alzheimer's show is tomorrow from 7 until 11 p.m. Tell me something good, Domati. What's been going on with you today that makes you happy, makes you smile?
I am so, so stoked about this. Thursday, I'm going to be honored as one of the 40 under 40 game changers by Ariel Investments. and Midway Broadcasting.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's so awesome.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
Very cool. Is there like a banquet? Is this a...
Yeah, it's going to be a nice banquet. That's the Waldorf Astoria and Ariel Investments,
whoa,
which is, you know, Melody Hobson is part of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I love Melody.
She'll be there. And they pick 40 people who they feel are changing the game in their respective fields. And somehow my name slipped in and I got to show up before they realize I'm not supposed to be there.
But, you know what? You joke around.
Excited.
That's a huge honor. Hugely well deserved, and you know, I know you've been in the business a while, but you know, you're at the peak of your career. You're young and you're doing great, and we love having you here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But yeah, I mean, you guys and the team and the opportunities and the things I've learned from you guys, this is why I was able to make this happen. So that's my something good.
Well, that's a huge honor. Congratulations.
It's better than the lottery. Thank you.
Yeah, it is better than the lottery. Who needs that $1.6 billion?
You're right. I've got a piece of paper.
You got, that's right. You'll probably get a little trophy. You get a chicken. You'll have good, nice dinner.
Yes.
Hey, it's the Waldorf. You'll probably have steak.
I've had steak. Good steak.
Hell, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Thank you,
Michael,
so
tell me something good.
Oh, man, you're going to make me go after Domitius.
I know, right?
Really
I should have ended with that. Mine's like I had some popcorn today. Got to have dinner.
Congratulations, Domitius. That's
amazing.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
That's so good to hear. I love seeing successful people and good people get further. Like, it makes me feel so warm.
Absolutely,
Make me cry.
No. You guys.
Mine was, I went to the Blackhawks game today and I got to see my brother who's doing really well with his job and everything. So it was good to spend some time with him, and they had this great cookie dough in for dessert that I got to dive into, and that was pretty great. And this weekend I get to see my mom and my dad. So those are my two good things.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Very cool. It's nice spending time, you know, at a Blackhawks game with your brother and stuff. That's nice.
First one of the year. So I thought it was a great time. It was really nice. How about you, Andrea?
Very cool. All right, my something good. Well, working with you guys, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to the show that we're going to do tomorrow. I have a special interview tomorrow that I'll tell you about tomorrow that we're going to air a little later in the week with a very special lady from Illinois. And we're going to do that tomorrow. And of course, our Alzheimer's special is tomorrow from 7 until 10 p.m. We have a great group of people lined up, and we got a chance to talk yesterday to a couple of the people we'll be interviewing. And Michael, you could back me up with this. We met a man who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2016. You'll hear a story tomorrow. And his partner is now his caregiver. And they are just two of the most likable, wonderful, awesome, inspirational people you will ever hear from. And that'll be tomorrow on our show. Yeah. So I'm super psyched about that. And Domitius, it's been a pleasure working with you, Michael, as well. And again, we're back tomorrow. So, we don't break, right?
No, we don't break.
Oh, so I have to. All right. So, what do y'all want to talk about?
You
want to talk
about
hair washing? How great you guys are!
I'm really.
You know,
you guys
I have to ask you guys this, and I know we just have a few minutes here, but I do want to ask. So, I was watching. Oh God, I'm watching The Haunting of Hill House. If you want a Netflix, if you want a show that is scary and awesome and so good and so smart and so sensible, you got to watch The Haunting of Hill House. I just finished it tonight. It's 10 episodes on Netflix, and it's Timothy Hutton, Henry Thomas, Kate Siegel. It is just awesome and scary and thrilling, and I highly recommend it.
You said too many words in that sentence that
I know.
I do not want in the same sentence. Like, scary and sensible?
No, you know what, Domitius? I compare really smart thrillers to Silence of the Lambs because it was scary and it was a horror film, but it was just smart and...
But
so well
that's
done.
What makes
it
so scary, because you think this could happen. Like, I'm cool with scary movies where it's so far-fetched. I'm like, this will never happen. Like, this clown, that won't happen.
Right. Like, that kind of, like, that fantasy sort of, you know, where Freddy's going to be slashing. Not that, you know,
that was a terrifying movie.
That was terrifying.
It was terrifying. But I could at least at some point say this most likely won't happen. But a sensible... Like,
but you guys, oh my gosh, you will love this. And I have to say, so they have a bunch of kids. It follows the lives of this family who moves into this house, and it follows the lives of the family and the children and then into adulthood. The actors, with the exception of Timothy Hutton and Henry Thomas and Kate Siegel, most of these are unknown actors or not as famous. I hadn't heard of them. The kids are the most remarkable actors I've ever seen. They are so good and so convincing, and you know, just and you guys will appreciate this too, just the genre, the film editing and cinematography of this is so brilliant. They did one episode, I think it was episode 6, and they did one straight shot. It was at a funeral, and there was not one cut, you know, not one cut until about 40 minutes in, until it was really necessary. Wow. When you flip from a little kid to when he became an adult. So it was a funeral scene, and this isn't giving anything away, but they started as the family's walking in. And again, there's a lot of panning and a lot of zooming, but not one cut. It was just so brilliantly done. It reminded me of a Hitchcock film.
Oh, wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just, it was a 10 episodes here, and is it done with this season once it ends, or is this something that coming back you think will be renewed?
That's an awesome question, Domati. They said that it's probably going to be renewed for a second season, but they don't know what they're going to do. Netflix is going to decide by Halloween if they're going to renew it for a second season, which I hope they do, but will they use the same actors, only a different story? Because this episode tells the story about this Hill House, which the book was written in like 1959. So it was an older, they took a lot of liberties. You know, they kind of like Orange is the New Black. You know, they started out being true to the book, but then took some liberties and changed things around to fit present day. Which makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Shirley Jackson.
Shirley Jackson, yeah.
Who wrote that. See, the one problem that I have with these Netflix shows is, can I get into it like in episode one, or is it kind of one of those ones that I have to wait a few episodes?
You will get into this immediately.
Okay,
and it's
good,
not
good.
It's very scary, but it's not, you know how you open a door and you hear the music coming, so you mm-hmm. know someone's going to be around the door.
Yeah.
It scares you when you least expect it.
Ooh.
You know, when someone's just, say, driving in a car, or, you know, it's scary when you least expect it, but
okay.
Good.
Like The Sixth Sense. That
yes.
Movie scared me when I least expected it.
Yes,
yeah.
It was exactly like that. Suspenseful, a thriller, but I really think you guys would like it.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for letting us know about it, because I've been looking for some new Netflix shows to watch, and there hasn't been really good scary ones yet. Like, I missed the boat on Game of Thrones.
Oh,
I missed
yeah.
the boat on a lot of the good ones. There's another scary one that I can't think of. Oh, the American Horror Story.
Oh, yeah. I missed
yeah.
the boat on that, too, Mike. I started watching the one. It was weird. The one with the clown, and I didn't
yeah.
like it very much.
Yeah. There was the one with the witches, too, that
yeah.
I was kind of getting into, but it just took too long to fully invest into the story.
Do you have Netflix, right?
Yeah, oh, of course.
Okay, watch two episodes.
Okay.
Just watch two episodes, and they go pretty fast. I mean, I started this maybe a week, 10 days ago, and I was trying to watch like an episode a day, or I was binging on the weekends a little bit.
And you already threw them.
I just finished tonight, yeah, before
so,
I came in.
So
I know, I was
good.
Like, I gotta finish it. It's good, though. Yeah, trust me. So, okay. All right, I'll see you tomorrow for our special Alzheimer's show.
Can't wait.
And Michael, thank you for everything. Domati, thank you.